Oh, this has got a bit heavy. Can we do Cheeky Freak of the Week?
Okay, so we're recording, yeah?
Yes.
Well, I didn't realise that you actually use the bit... When I say 3, 2, 1 to you,
yeah,
you actually use that bit, don't you?
I do, yeah. I think it's just something that people like now. You know how shows kind of grow into their own?
How do you know people like it?
Well, they don't. No one said anything.
But... No one said anything. So,
I like shows that have a formula, a nice beginning, middle and end, a nice arc. And for me, that's part of the storytelling of audio.
He's already gone into his radio voice, by the way. But yeah, I didn't know you used that, but I've been listening back to old shows because there's a podcast competition we're going to enter and things.
What's the competition?
I can't remember who runs it.
It's the British Podcast Awards, sponsored by Audible.
Yeah, so we're just looking for our best 5 minutes, which is quite difficult. But yeah, anyway, let's forget all that for the moment, because I'm just going to now do my, what is, for the fans, I'm going to do my counting for you.
Okay. Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the D-Trap Spinners podcast with Miles Purnell and Gary Forrestal. Gary Forrestal drinking, nursing a rather nice viscous red liquid. What is that liquid you are sucking
on?
It's
Ribena, on? Mate. So okay. It's a very, very heavy Ribena.
Ribena. What was your favourite squash of choice when you were growing up?
Well, I think Sunny Delight came out. Like in my childhood, but I never really liked that. It was a bit too sweet. So I think it would have been Ribena. Like, I'm not actually drinking Ribena now, but Ribena was always my favourite.
You know when people always say, like, advertising has no effect on you whatsoever? I remember being a kid and watching the Sunny D advert and literally legging it to the shops because I was just so... I was just so impressionable back then about that advert. There was something about it. It was just really... And that's also like... the fact that there were different colours as well. It was like a sort of collect-em-all kind of like kiwi flavour. What was it? Florida flavour, California flavour. It was just... How can orange juice seem that exciting?
That reminds me of a great Simpsons clip where they go to the brewery and it's like, oh, yeah. Duff Light, Duff Full and Duff, another Duff, right? And they all come in from three different streams and it zooms above it and they're all the same, basically. It's literally coming from the same vat.
Yeah.
And they just call it different things. I didn't know there was a California flavour and a LA flavour or whatever, but I just, they were a bit sweet for me. Or kiwi would have been nice. I do like a kiwi now and then. But
Do you know what drink I really like now? And I used to hate it as a kid. Are we still talking about, bitter lemon. I love a bitter lemon. Just like something that makes your lips go. Yeah. You know, like when Homer bites into
a
lemon.
Lemon of Troy.
No, he doesn't bite into it. It's the other bloke. I love that. Like, and his face just goes.
I put lemon on all my food. If I get Chinese, cut up a lemon into half, squeeze an entire half a lemon on it. I do promise you it works. Then you put soy sauce on, because obviously it is a bit acidic, but it's lovely, but you need a bit of salt then. What? And it's lovely. I put lemon on everything.
Ever heard of that?
Yeah, well, I do. I think it's lovely, but I don't drink lemon, like, from the lemon. But I do like bitter drinks now, and I didn't used to. It's funny, because when I was young, I used to put, like, 10 sugars in my tea. Like,
yeah.
My mum, like, I'd sneak it in, you know. Now, I would not have sugar in any drinks. I don't like any sugar.
People, there's a real sort of snobbery about sugar in tea and coffee these days, isn't there?
Is there?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think people are like...
Explain.
Because I think it ruins the flavour. You know, the same sort of people that don't, that put ice in whiskey and stuff. I think it's
so you are a snob, like me?
No.
Because we are snobs in that scenario.
You do what you want, love.
No, I didn't even know the thing existed. But, yeah, I'm not a very sugary person. But anyway,
Sweet enough, mate. Sweet enough, as they say. Well,
by the way, if you've tuned in for a Ricky Gervais FM review, sorry about this.
I'll tell you what. If you are looking for pointers facts, I have found... I found the best toothbrush ever. It's just It's just, it's such a slim, slender design, and it's got a real nice sort of...
Are you talking about a toothbrush or your girlfriend?
Toothbrush.
Slim, slender design.
And it's got a circular bristles, and it just, the way it sort of just rolls on your molars,
Yeah, I've got one with circular bristles. I've had one for ages. Actually, I tell my mum this. It's the best present she's ever got me. About 10 years ago, she got me a electric toothbrush. It wasn't like really expensive, but it was one that did basically, and this has literally been the key to my teeth staying as healthy as they are, because they used to be much more like, I don't know, I used to get dirt in between the things. But
You get stains.
But the key thing this does is every 30 seconds it vibrates a bit, so you know to go to your next, and it does it four times. So four, top, front, top, back, top, bottom, front, bottom, back.
Or you don't have any fillings, do you? Which I find.
I've never had a filling. Never had a filling.
Find that absolutely mental. How can you not? I've got about. Pretty much all my teeth are fillings.
No, I was lucky as a kid. As I say, I like sugary drinks, but actually quite early on, even as a child, I stopped liking them, so I didn't have them. But the thing that the key, I'll tell you to the listeners, the key why I don't have any fillings is because I drink so much green tea. It's such a good health elixir for everything. So I would recommend green, white and red bush tea to anyone. But it protects your teeth, protects your heart, protects your lungs. Would I still be the same person?
Will not save you, Gary. That will not save your inevitable death.
Mate, it's the only thing I've got going for me. So.
But until that happy date, you can enjoy the detailed spinners from Mars.
What a segue.
And this week we discussed episode 44, 28th of June 2003. Medical, zoo, charity and taxi drivers talk, shaving one's ass, feeling testicles, owl on a desk, Maggie the magpie, do you know the way to Camden, monkey news, bequeathing the monkey spa to the kids, and Rockbusters still alive but on very thin ice. I'll put a link to the original show in the
description. Did all that without Wikipedia as well, so well done.
They've archived it, so fortunately I've been able to access it. I'll send you a link. Listen back to the original show, and when you're ready, come back and join us. Oi, hi there.
We always do that joke. We always do that joke and find it funny between ourselves. I don't think anyone else does. We always do the joke. Don't even find it funny, no. But yeah, actually, just before we sort of start talking about the show, it's again scary, isn't it? We're scarily close to the end of series two.
I know. I was just seeing that. Weird. And
can't believe.
What are we gonna do when we get to the end of series two? Are we gonna have a break or?
No, I don't think. Well, we've got a couple of interviews coming up, but they'll be before we get to the end of series two. We might have a break of a couple of weeks because we're lazy people. But we'd go. I think we'll go straight on to series three.
Yeah,
and then four, because they're so short, and then back to one. But if you've got any suggestions on that, we've often talked about this before. If you've got a suggestion, let us know. We do take, you know, if enough, like, for example, if someone says, oh, we like the bit you do at the beginning, we take that on board. If someone says, oh, we don't really like the bit you do at the beginning, we take that on board. We don't necessarily stop.
If someone says, can you stop doing the show altogether? We'll listen to that and we'll won't do another that. Episode.
But like, if we take we weigh it up, we wouldn't always change something straight away based on one bit of feedback. We do take it all on board. But when say, for example, 17 people have emailed saying, what the fuck is that music you're playing with favourite quotes? Get rid of it. Then we get
it's
rid
a democracy.
Of it.
You know what I mean? We're a democratic union here at the D-Trout.
We are. But anyway.
What are your thoughts on this episode? Thoughts, please.
It's a good, very good. Like, and I'm always judging them on the context, in the context of other XFM Ricky Gervais shows. In the context of a normal radio show, very good. In the context of the Ricky Gervais show, it's not one of my favourites by a long way. I think there's a lot of kind of chat that is a bit redundant. I never have been a particular fan of the shaving the ass chat. Now I know that'll be contentious, because a lot of, I can imagine a lot of our listeners, and you, given the way you just reacted, do like that chat. And I, in fact, I know you like that chat anyway, but it's just, for me, it's a bit, it's okay. And Carl's got a good line in there. I think this show is, apart from a couple of standout moments, and they are brilliant standout moments, is one of the more average ones. Still very good for a radio show. Still has that six laughs. You know, we talk about it, Mark Kermode, six laughs, it's got at least that in it, but the laughs aren't as full and hard, apart from the standout moments, which we will get to. So yeah, it's not one of my particular favourites. We'll go through each sort of individual bits of the chat. What are your general takeaways from this?
My favourite bits are, like, I don't mind the shaving the ass, but I don't
overall impression of the,
So I like this episode a lot, and then for a long time after, I was thinking, like, is this actually one of my favorite episodes, because there are so many moments that I really, really enjoyed. I think it's got the best cheeky freak of the week, the cheeky freak of the week. I wish they kept that jingle, because that is so funny. I think the monkey news is very, very funny. The reprise of Rockbusters is just ludicrous. There are some really, really funny Rockbusters there. There's loads of Steve versus Carl in there, which is always a joy to listen to. I will always listen to that.
But not the best bits of Steve versus Carl. I know what you mean. There are some good bits. I've given Rockbusters this week 8 out of 10. Solid. Very good. Good Rockbusters. Not the best, but good. I've given Monkey News 8.5 out of 10. Because it's good, it's very good, but again, it's not amongst the classics, but you know, it's got a fantastic, just for the line, it's actually run by a couple of chimps is enough to kind of give it 8.5. But I think there's a lot of chat in this that is okay. It actually, it's got a better second half for me than a first half. First half, I'm not that much of a fan of. One thing I did want to ask you, well, I was going to say, was that they do talk, this isn't like a big bit of the episode or anything, but they talk about doctors again and being sort of scared to see doctors. So we go straight over to our nervous patient correspondent, Mars Purnell. Mars, what are your thoughts? What are your initial thoughts on that?
What knobby bits?
That's just one of my favorite lines ever. So actually, this episode does have standout moments, but just not many of them.
This show has probably my second favorite quote of all time, and I'll get onto that because we've got our favorite quotes coming up and XFM in the community. However, just returning to what you said, yeah, I think it's good. We've often said it. I think it's really good that they do shine a light on how nervous people are going to the doctors. Like Carl, he won't go to the doctors until it's developed into something really bad.
Yeah.
That is not what I would do. I used to be like that, and now I'm pretty much, I've got like a fast connection to my GP's office and probably wasting loads and loads of taxpayers' money.
Today you can sit in the Mars Purnell suite of the surgery.
Suite, yeah, exactly. What is the part of your body
Mars
that
Purnell
you worry about?
Mars Purnell
week. Like it.
The hospital.
Shizlong there, an open bar. What's the part of the body that you worry about the most? Like for me, like I was just looking at it in the mirror, and I find the Adam's apple a worrying piece of software in your body.
It's hardware, isn't it? In that analogy.
Yeah, hardware. I find it quite weird. Like I don't want to have it there. I mean, like it's just, what is it? What is it?
It's weird that we have one, like men have one and women don't. Like, what's the function of it? I can't even. Yeah, I agree. I don't understand.
And
it's like, I know what you mean, because it's like, I never worry about it like you do, but now I'm thinking about it. It is kind of like a vulnerable point. Like your neck's quite vulnerable anyway, and then you've got this bit sticking out that could get caught. And
have you ever been karate chopped in the neck?
No, not directly, but no, I can imagine. I don't think
it's
should get
like
a super
that feeling.
Because it's isn't it?
But also, like I got quite worried about my tonsils once upon a time because I was just
quite worried. I've looked into Mars's mouth. I said this last week about 28 times to see if he's got anything wrong there.
I think that's when you know you've got a good friend, if they wanted to see that. But I think it's because kids have their tonsils removed when they're quite young. And I was always like, well, why are they there in the first place? You know, same people that have like appendix out.
Gallbladder.
Or
you can get your gallbladder.
Yeah, these sort of things. And also, now that I am sort of 30, you do worry about this stuff more. Like Carl is well within his rights to be concerned about his bike. But for Christ's sake, if anything is wrong, do arrange.
Oh God.
Yeah, but it is funny. It's so reassuring that men do feel like this, and I actually feel that's kind of like a precursor, isn't it, for how people.
No, but you do it right. Like we joke about it and stuff, but it is better to go to the doctors too much rather than not enough. Like you are good to have them on speed dial.
I tell you what. Emma Barnett makes a really good point about this. She talks about endometriosis, which is she's a presenter on Five Live now, does Women's Hour. She's very, very good political journalist and stuff. Anyway, endometriosis. Yeah. So it's a condition that you have going through periods and stuff. But you have very, very severe like periods.
Or anyway, none at all for some periods. Yeah. You get strange. Yeah. No. And,
She said we have this attitude towards the NHS whereby we go like we're really grateful and thankful that you know that we owe them everything because it's such a revered sort of thing that we hold, you know, we're very proud of it in this country, aren't we? But people don't go, you know, they kind of let them get away with things. Like if you have a bad experience, it's like, oh, it's all right. Or like the fact that we need to wait so long for an appointment, it's like, oh, it's all right. It's like, no, your health is the most important thing. Like when Ricky is talking about being homeless, he said, I think it's everything, isn't it? Anything outside health, he says, because it's everything. You've got no food, you've got no access to clean running water. It's the worst, because if your health is being at risk, he's right. There's nothing else to be worried about.
Ricky describes that in a very good way. Again, it's another really wise moment from Ricky. He's like, just firstly to place being homeless just below health worries is about right. So it's a good way of putting it. But to kind of describe, like, because if your health is being is in question, you can't really worry about anything else. Like, health is number one. So that's why most people give to cancer charities. It's understandable. They actually get too much of a percentage of the money. Like, there's other smaller charities that need it. But yeah, general health is the main thing. It's the main thing for everyone. And yeah, being homeless would be like the second thing. And obviously it would impact your health. But I like the way Ricky describes that there. But those points by Emma, I'm not saying she is, but they sound a bit dangerously like Americanized right-wing talking points, like, because they will say like, okay, so you've got the NHS, well, so what, you can't get appointments for ages and it's crap service. And well, actually, you know, Emma's okay, she's right to point out, I think a lot of people do question it when they get bad service in the NHS. I think on the whole though, the vast majority of people get good service most of the time, so you don't really need to highlight the times when highlight the fact that you get bad service. We know that, but in general we get great service from the NHS, and we should be proud of it, and it should be revered. It doesn't make it perfect, and I'm not saying it does, but it's far better than other systems.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I do understand that sort of, you know, the fact that we should be grateful because it is important. It's just returning back to the show, and we're kind of skirting around it, Carl's views on charity are very, very funny for me, because he says, yes, well,
I'm 30,
you do get sick of it, don't you? And then Carl's breaks up, careful, it's freedom of speech, there's so many issues there. And the fact that he says, you know, how many times can you save the world, about, you know, Bob Geldof and Live Aid, Band Aid and all the rest of it. I'm not saying that people shouldn't give to charity, but I've often felt, I think so many reasons why people love Carl is he's willing to sort of go there when other people are kind of afraid to go there. And yeah. I think that's saying what a lot of people think. It's like, oh, why me? Why do we have to give them money?
Well,
how many times can we give to charity? Like, but you know, I've got a couple of standards. Nowhere near amount as what I could be done. But
well, firstly on that bit, I think I was just going to say, Ricky, the fact that Ricky's complaining about having 8 standing orders out, he will have earned hundreds of thousands of pounds at that point. Just having 8. I know, actually, the bit that Ricky's annoyed at is not having the money go out of his account, is the being stopped in the street. But it's just a bit annoying hearing Ricky complain about having 8 standing orders. It's like, you know, like problems of, you know, the wealthy, and you know, and yeah, Carl's kind of right, understandable about charities, and yeah, it's a good point. He will say things that people think, like, and it, there's another time he talks about charity as well in a different show, and he makes a similar point, like, how many times can you save the world? But actually, that's not the right way of looking at it. But it, what I would describe it is, an understandable way of looking at it. But it's actually, if you dig in, you know, charity is so important to kind of fixing problems like that. And just because they haven't been fixed and charities have existed doesn't make charity not worthwhile. You know, I could give to more charities, but I don't. But, you know, I give to some.
What, do you hate starving people in Africa?
Yeah, exactly. It's that kind of thing, you know. Do you feel, but in fact, the charities I give to are actually lotteries. So I enter a lottery. I get a lottery. I do a dog's trust. I do.
Oh, dear.
You do trust. Those. Yeah, they all do run lotteries. So obviously you never win. But, you know, I at least, because I like lotteries. So
could win a cat or a dog.
I don't think they give away their actual, you know, their But, yeah, it's interesting about charities. It's more a point about, I like the chat about annoying people in the street, because I know exactly what they mean by that. When you're walking, I've often avoided streets that I know charity people or certain homeless people who are very, very pressing will be on. I've diverted my journey. And
you didn't buy them a Diet Coke.
Buy them a Diet Coke. I should. But I've given to homeless people a lot, but I'm not going to tell my homeless people story because you know that. But anyway, so, like, I'm thinking of a street like St. James's Street, you know it. Yeah. You know, so it's a street in Brighton. But yeah, I don't like getting stopped and things, but, you know, in general, I've got stopped. Those lotteries were both me being stopped outside co-op or inside co-op, in fact, by someone. And if I'm in a good mood, I will just go through because it makes them feel good. And I have done the thing before of going through the entire process and then cancelling it immediately, like as soon as the standing order comes through.
I have to say, that has been the good thing about COVID, is you don't have any of those people in those lanyards who are going, excuse me, because you go, COVID!
Oh, yeah, they're not allowed to work, of course, yeah.
Someone was giving up menus, and I was like, mate, no, I don't want a fucking menu.
Do you mean giving out menus?
Just giving up, I went for a walk along the canal, then I walked back up. No, just along the street, and it was just like, menus, like, obviously for takeaway services.
Oh, I'm surprised. I got to see, it's all unlocking a bit too quickly for me. I don't think there should. Like, I've got a friend, he's on, he does the news for Southern Radio, for Capital FM. He's the newsreader. And he said, because he often will get into work at sort of 5 a.m, 6 a.m. And he said it's been like a ghost town, London, like even Oxford Street, to get into his the Capital FM offices have been just so, so lovely. And he said to me, they've already started to, you know, a lot of people have. It's getting busier again, which I don't like the business. I kind of like it how it's been. I think there will be a lot of people who have to adjust to coming out of COVID as much as people have to adjust going into it.
It's funny that Ricky says about Oxford Street being too loud, when it's now it's going to be, if anything, too quiet. And
but no, not anymore. But yeah, no, it would have been.
But he's saying, you know, talking about loud pubs when pubs are closed now. And
great point. I wrote talking loud in pubs. I love that point. It's so true. I hate loud music in pubs. Steve makes a good point about it too. Can't stand it.
That's why we sit outside.
No, we sit outside for a different reason, Mars. But but that's, you know, that's one of the reasons. But do you remember we went to that pub actually twice? Like when you came to Brighton, but also before that, when we were on our way back from the spa, we sat outside and they've been playing music outside, which it's okay because it's kind of dispersed. But actually, we asked them on both occasions if they could stop the music because we wanted to record a pointless podcast, and they both did at the time. But I don't mind music so much when I'm outside. It's just inside, and you know, everyone's having to talk like this to be heard. You know, it's so annoying.
It's just what's the point? I just don't understand. You're trying to socialise with someone. You're shouting at them. Who is enjoying that? I don't even think the bar staff are enjoying that, to be honest.
But like, if you go clubbing, all right, I get
fair
that.
Enough.
Like,
yeah, that,
but,
fair
that's enough. why I would, well, one of the reasons why I'd never go clubbing like anymore. I did go clubbing. Don't get me wrong. I don't look down on clubbing. Clubbing's great if you like it, and if you, it, but it tends to be a, you know, I am too old to go clubbing now anyway. I remember when we went in, I used to go clubbing in a place in Brighton, and they had, I think it was at the time.
The Honey Bar. Was it the Honey Club?
No, that was one, but the queue for the toilets was a nightmare there because they only had one toilet.
You must have been just like an OAP.
Well, no, because funny, this particular club had, I think it was, an over 26s room. What? So it's a room you could only go into if you were over 26, or what might have been over 27. And actually, at the beginning, I wasn't old enough. And then I went in that room when I was kind of old enough, and it was a bit slightly more mellow and stuff, but it wasn't much more mellow. But it was like, at the time, that seems so old, you know, yeah. Looking back now, 10 years down the line, I don't know if clubs have over 36-year-old rooms, but, you know, I would go because of the noise. And it's so annoying, shouting at people. And I hate shouting my order to the bar staff, you know. But the pubs we go to, we tend to, they are quite quiet.
Have you seen those memes? And it's the bloke got his mouth in the ear of a young girl, and And the caption just says, "Did you get Moderna? Did you get AstraZeneca or Moderna?"
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, it's that
those irritating men that fucking, I mean, quite important now, but you know, those irritating men that chat up women in bars and all this sort of funny.
I think I know that picture because it's quite a famous picture of a woman just sort of standing there in a club, yeah. And a man sort of who is on MDMA, I can tell you right now, or ecstasy, sort of saying something in her ear, and she's just ignoring him. But I think when I went clubbing, I would, you know me, I'm ultra polite, you know, never do anything that I it would be a lie for people to say they don't go clubbing, especially like 15 years ago, like to chat up women, not chat up, but just to try and meet people. You just do go for that reason. So I did do that, and I'm sure you did it as well. And but very politely, like, I'm, you know, never forceful, of course, you know me. But yeah, it's okay to, you know, chatting someone up is not the problem. It's not reading the obvious cues that they don't want it straight away, that are obvious, and carrying on with that. You know, so that's the problem.
Because no one's got that right to infringe on anyone's good time in a public space, men or women. Like,
no, and I'd never just go and chat up a woman now in a pub. Like, I wouldn't do it for a lot of reasons, but I wouldn't do it just because it's like taking up time. But when you go club,
yeah, well, I don't have any spare change, sir. Could you please go away?
Yeah, get some hair trimmers and come back.
I've got new hair trimmer now. You could go Chazzy's on it if you want.
You've got you're moustached at the moment. Sometimes you are, sometimes you aren't. So I thought you wouldn't be if you.
But this, trust me, this look isn't going to work in a nightclub these days.
No.
Okay. I'll tell you, it doesn't work.
No, more like a meat processing factory. I don't know. Or one of those like new age kind of startup tech companies, which you do actually work for, where you have scooters and things in the office. And
I think I'd look well at home just like cutting a bit of doner kebab. I'd love that in a way.
You would. You do look a bit sort of Turkish.
Cheers.
Great. Thanks.
Welcome to all of our little Turkish friends around the country and little Saudi Arabian fellas.
Saudi Arabian fellas.
So there's a couple of bits of trivia here for this episode. I think it's the first mention of the minicab story. I think it might be, you know, and Steve saying, and that is a very, I can't even imagine how annoying it is. They're talking a lot about service, aren't they? Service industries, and saying, I didn't know this, but do you know the black cabs have to do a test called the knowledge?
Yes, of course.
I had no idea. I watched a program. I was fascinated.
It's famous.
I know. I had no idea about it. But you can understand how infuriating it must be for Uber drivers. You know, texts come along, but you go, "Do you know the way?" And that's probably back when sat navs weren't.
I don't think that would be too much of a problem these days because everyone's got even if you don't have a sat nav, you've got your phone. You can just, you know, everyone knows. But Ricky's really makes a really good point. Like, and he says it in a good way. Like, when you get into a cab and he's like, okay, so I want to go to, you know, Lavender Street. Where's that? Right, you're not taking me. I don't know. I don't drive. I don't know. And if you don't drive, you don't know I don't know the way anywhere. I couldn't direct anyone to any street. Like, because, you know, Brighton, there's certain bits that are one way. There's certain bits. I don't. I know. Okay, I would know if I thought about it.
I'm more like Carl though. I'll go, is there a Boots on the corner? Yeah, it's just down there, turn left. But if someone asked me for blood, yeah. I wouldn't know where to go for that.
Go to Harley Street.
Also, interesting point about driving, right? Because Ricky, to this day, I believe he still can't drive.
No, he can't
What's
drive.
Your opinion on people, on, I suppose men particularly, but I'll tell you why I'm asking this, because my girlfriend finds it mental that I don't drive, and she finds it actually quite irritating.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, in a relationship.
Yeah, but like, why? Who wants to drive? I think driving's so dangerous.
I totally agree with you, and I don't like driving, and I haven't driven for 15 years, but I'm glad that I have passed my test, so I can at least legally drive. Like,
that's no use if you're not practicing that skill. That's no good.
When I was living in like Watford area, it's kind of useful when I use my car to get to work and things. And is it? But Brighton is a city full of public transport. You can walk most places anyway, or get a taxi if you're me. I walk to Saints, but I don't particularly like driving. If I were to drive again, even though I'm legally allowed to, I would have a course of driving lessons, because I would need them. But you know, I actually got a letter through the post the other day. It's in a brown envelope. I was like, oh, fucking hell, this comes from the government. I don't know what's going to say. And it said DVLA on it. I was like, and it has this like generic message, like tax it or lose it. Like, and I thought, is this about an untaxed car? Because I don't have a car. Like, someone stole my identity. And it wasn't. It said, your driving license has expired. You need to legally get it. Did you know if you've got a driving license, you need to legally renew it every 10 years, or you can get fined 100 or 300 quid or whatever it is. And I looked at my driving license, and it expired last month. But I remember when I got that, and I went into the little booth to get my little photo taken, Jesus. You know, and to get, like, and I remember seeing the expiry date, and it was like 21st of Feb 2021. And I was like, bloody hell, like, God, can you imagine? There's no way I'm going to reach that. That's like futuristic. Like, it seems so long away. It was like, God, there's no way I'll get there. And now it is that, and it's gone past that date. It's just like, where has time flies? That doesn't seem that long ago when I got that done. And
I know.
It's 10 years.
And looking at those old pictures, it's a cliche, but oh my God, you do change, don't you? I mean, you really change.
I've changed quite a lot recently. But that's, actually, I'll tell you one thing about this show, unless you've got another point about that. The one thing is, it's got bloody great music. I can't think of a better Ricky Gervais XFM show that's got better music than this.
Are you just saying that because it's got Oasis Supersonic?
No, but that is one of them. And actually, honestly, I love that. Because I obviously had Supersonic the whole way through loads of times. But when you just hear the outro, like, just cut, like, it's come back in, it's so good. It's such a good song. And they played Bruce Springsteen, Atlantic City, which I love that song. I didn't know about it until the Ricky Gervais show, but I've since looked into it. It's a lovely song. Miss You by Steve. There's a few others, but it's got fantastic music. Like, literally, I think this is the best music. It's got a bit of R.E.M.
Do you know, and also, when he is talking about the R.E.M. track, it's just so funny at the start when Steve's getting on. I don't know, Steve, it's 10 to 1. You're the producer. But it's funny, Ricky then, obviously, straight combative, and he says, I have actually got a little request. I want a little song. But it's just brilliant.
That is
and
subversive stirring. Like, it's stirring, yes, without seeming like you're stirring.
But the fact of the matter, he goes, Mulholland Drive, and I want the listener to tell me. That's a brilliant question. I've shown the listener to help themselves. They've told me what they want, and they're going to hear it.
And doesn't it date it? Now, Mulholland Drive, you just say Mulholland Drive lyrics and it would come up. Like, yes, but then it dates the show.
That's what I mean. Like, you could literally Google that in a matter of seconds. The fact that you're having like a listener fan base to tell you what you want someone to hear, it's so funny, and it does date it.
It's an interesting part of the show anyway.
There's another bit of trivia, which is the romantic music that Ricky goes, which I think is, it's not like Sway or something like that. Anyway, they use that music in Extras, I believe, on one of Maggie's dates. But also, there's a short little skit at the start of the Animals stand-up DVD where it's actually Gervais and Jennifer, the actress that plays Jennifer, and that song's used again. It's just like a little interesting. He's done it a few times, though.
Yeah, I mean, that is like the cliche of romantic music, isn't it? It's like when we did Mars Solves a Problem. Like, the music we used was the cliche of, like, I've got a problem music or something's not quite right. But this... It's a cliche, isn't it? So I'm not surprised they've used it again. But, yeah, this is the first iteration of that. And incidentally, to come back to what you said before, I don't think it's the first time Steve tells his minicab story. But certainly, whether it's the first or the second, he doesn't tell it as well this time because... He says, what's the area he's going to?
Swiss Cottage.
Swiss Cottage. But then he says, oh, I can get you to Camden. Oh, yeah. He says, I can get you to Camden. Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough. And then he says, do you know the way to Camden? But actually, when you that doesn't make sense. Like, when he tells it properly, he says, I was going to Swiss Cottage. He said, I don't know the way. Okay, well, I can get you to Camden. Okay, well, I'll take you there. Drove on a bit. And then turned to me and said, do you know the way to Camden? Yeah, it doesn't make sense the way he tells it this time, but it's not the best time.
This is my favourite cheeky freak of the week because it starts off really well. It's there's actually sort of three sections to it. It's the little twin, and she makes a lot of money because she's got extra leg, and people look goes, oh, and Ricky just goes, oh, extra leg.
Not Squiddy Patel is
my, yeah, it's my that favorite. One.
That's so quick. That he's so quick.
Then there's also the woman. He goes, it's a woman that's got two mouths, pretty four funny. Eyes. Think what would that be like? And then, just to like do a hat trick, which I believe is a football term. He says, it's the little fella. It's
the little fella on an apple. I don't know if anyone listening has ever noticed that we did include that, a reference to that, in our artwork, but probably no one's ever noticed. It's on the picture in the background. But that is a classic moment. That's one of the standout moments that I was talking about earlier. There aren't many in this episode, but that's one. You know, leaning on an apple is just such a classic. But it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite cheeky freak of the week. I think one of the ones where, you know, should have looked both ways. One of those sort of ones. But it is a good one. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I just think that probably is my second favorite quote, only behind is from Baba, which
it's funny. Baba.
But come on, like three words, and it's hilarious. You obviously need the context, everything, but. That is so funny. But some words are funny. You know, we've talked about it before. Some words are just intrinsically funny. Baba.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, it's a funny quote, but it's nowhere near my top. But I've known that because you've kind of, when we used to message each other quotes, we don't as more because we do the shows, but you always love that. And I've, like, I could take it or leave it. He's from Baba. It's good. It's good, you know, but that's... I always feel like, because last week you said there's a bit you don't listen to because you get sad because Carl's mum's dog story, which is very sweet. But there's a bit here. I do listen to it and I don't feel that sad about it. But when Carl talks about Maggie and the fact he didn't come back one day, that's such a sad story if you think about it. Imagine having a pet magpie and he's always with you and then one day he just doesn't come back. That must have been so sad as a child. Like, I always think I feel a bit sad for Carl.
I just find it so funny that there's parallels between Kez and Carl's life up north.
Do you believe the story as well?
Yes, it's part of me I think that is 100% true because there's that episode in series one where they go on Friends Reunited, and that does date it.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, an entourage of his old school friends, and they all say the same thing. Carl Pilkington, if I'm mistaken. He had a pet magpie.
Yeah. I didn't think he was lying. I didn't think he was making it up. I was just putting the question out there because it was just something that was in my head. But you're totally right. That what you just said in series one, that kind of confirms it. Yeah. But it's just funny to have a pet magpie. It's just such a weird thing, you know, to have one land on your finger. How does it know to come back to you? I mean, birds, I'm fascinated by birds. I watch a lot of bird videos online and I love nothing more than the video of a bird and human falling in love, not romantic love, but just like the bird kind of seeing the person as their
friend,
as their mother, you know, it's just lovely.
Well, you'd be like, I can actually imagine. Ricky says, "Have you ever wanted like a little owl, and it just sits on your desk and looks at you and thinks you're pretty?" I can imagine you with a little owl.
Really?
Just sitting on your desk, like Harry Potter. I don't know. It's something. Well, you are looking a bit Hagrid.
I am a bit Hagrid-y, yeah. But no, I think having an owl kind of inclimates that you are intelligent in some way. So does having a beard. Now, I'm not intelligent, but I do have the beard, and I could get the owl, and maybe I'll get a woman.
Is that right? That. I've got a question for you, Gary. Does Carl deserve a reprise for his Rockbusters?
Well, I was just going to say, just because one thing I wanted to bring up, which is kind of related to that, because you said earlier, you talked about the Steve and Carl at the beginning, and, you know, it's 5-1, Steve. First of all, right, I'm with Carl on that. I don't think it's reasonable of Steve to just swan in there and think the track should be...
And to assume that Carl's heard the track as well, albeit if it was like...
Yeah, he's a busy man, you know, he can't just go... He's right, he can't just go around listening to tracks.
It's a terrible song as well.
I don't even know, but he just, I would have thought it would be lying around the office for a year. Well, even if it had, why would Carl, the head of production, sort of listen to, all right, I'm sure he listens to some, he's got to listen to some music, you know, but this Steve's just a sort of a brat, the way he acts there. You know, it's still funny to Steve versus Carl, but I'm totally with Carl there. Does Carl deserve a reprieve for his Rockbusters? Yeah, because I'm glad the series continued, because I like Rockbusters, but they're not the best. I've rated them 8 out of 10, but that's for humour. In terms of quality of clue, they're pretty poor. But I will give him this, Faith No More, that is an out there clue. And I think Ricky's right, he's mixed up what cryptic is, because it's not a cryptic clue, but it's actually quite a creative one. Tony Bennett, you know, is nearly a good clue, and I can't remember the second one.
Tony Bennett.
What was the second one? Tony Bennett.
Okay. It's funny as well, because when you're talking about Carl being a producer and not having the time, I'm just looking at it now. I took a snapshot from the Archive XFM website, and we both want to be, you know, radio presenters. We'd love to be on radio, right? And he says in this article, what advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you do? I'll do this in Carl's voice. My proper job at XFM is making promos and ad-ins. I sit in a studio on my own all day from about 9 a.m. to 7 p.m, sat in front of a computer editing stuff and dealing with promotions, people who hassle me to make stuff so they can get their bonus at the end of the month. Who wants to do what I do?
That's brilliant. Brilliant.
Can you guess also what Carl Pilkington's first record was?
What do you mean first record? What he bought? Probably something like Michael Jackson, because he does talk about liking Michael Jackson early.
Worse/ better than that.
Gary Glitter.
Yes!
Because you said worse/ better. I could only think of Gary Glitter.
Oh my god! That's so funny. It's Gary Glitter's I Love, You Love, My Only True Love, which I've never heard.
No. Anyway, let's get off that. But yeah, that's it's unfortunate. I think I was named
I hope that's where the similarities end. Yes. If you're talking about brilliant Rockbusters, and do head to our Twitter page at Spinners Podcast. I tell you what, my voice is breaking something stupid today.
Becoming an adult, becoming a man finally on air.
Over this podcast, someone on the Reddit thread, and I've just reposted it, has done a mock Reading Festival poster with all of the different titles for the band, but in the style of obviously the Rockbusters. And it's just seeing them there just all together. There's so much love to see
the quality of that, because they're all done in different text and like sizes, like you would have on a poster for something like Reading Festival. I'm sure they like copied an actual poster, but it's done so well. And they've got all of them in there. They've got all of the good ones in there. They've got about literally 40 on there, maybe 40.
You've got to check that out though. There's so many little Easter eggs there to enjoy. And also, I just want to say that some person has made that on Reddit, and I see these people all the time. They're like web developers, animators, people who like do production work, video game designers. Someone's made like it's like a sort of cloud-based game where it's like a little animated car is looking around a 3D modeled Manchester, and I actually work in tech, so I find all this stuff so interesting. How inspired people are from the XFM shows to do their own creative work from it, and you realize it's just so great that we can do something like this podcast. Okay, it's nowhere near as talented as creating a video game, but it's what a lovely way that the show
is a different homage to it, isn't it?
It's just so gratifying to see people are so creative in their own lives through the XFM shows, and shows that their legacy is really important. I mean, that's the true test of whether something's still relevant today, isn't it, I suppose?
I think like a lot of the people who are interested in XFM shows, if you're not interested in it, fair enough. You're not aware of it, or you don't like it. You've listened and you didn't like it. But the people who do like it tend to probably be quite creative people. I'm not saying speaking to you or I, but they probably tend to be more creative because it's the sense of humor and things you need to kind of get it. So I can imagine there are people who are creative in general, and they use XFM as a vehicle, as an outlet kind of for their creativities. But yeah, it is lovely. There's someone I watch on YouTube who's like reviews video games, and he got people started to send in to him video games of him, like shooting at video games, because he takes the piss out of video games. He kind of destroys, you know, reviews them. And so they they're quite good. They look pretty good, you know, good style, like better than say NES, or it's like Super Nintendo quality. So apparently it's quite easy. Well, okay, it's not easy at all, not for me, but it's quite accessible to make
kind of video games now.
It's like much easier than it used to be. But I admire those people on Reddit, absolutely. And kind of, yeah, we're kind of doing our own little creative bit, but not much technology involved, not for me anyway.
He can barely string a sentence together, which
lasted 48 minutes, but you know, it's time to go now. No, I think we should have a little break, and we'll come back with our favorite quotes in a moment.
Look forward to it.
Okay, for the second time in a row, welcome back. I just said it, but Mars hadn't started press record yet, so welcome back.
Keep freezing. Yeah.
So hope you had a nice break like we did. Mars went to the toilet and himself a drink. So we've had our general main discussion about the show, sort of differing views on it this week. Let us know your opinions on the show as a whole. But now it's time for our favourite quotes. We're just going to run through these quite quickly. I've got quite a few, but I need to cut down, actually. But yeah, let's blizz through. Go on, you start.
Is there anyone else that you look like, Steve? Or would you say that you're a bit of a one-off? So much sass in his voice.
It's the timing. Was there anyone you would say you look like, Steve? Would you be a one-off? I just like Ricky, the way Ricky says this. It's just classic Ricky. If I'm relaxed, the listeners relax, we're all happy. I like the way he says it.
It's just so Ricky, isn't it? He just wants everyone to work around him. Leaning on an apple.
Love it.
Too good.
Yeah, it is. But for someone who's major...
Yeah.
That's
I thought he said major, as in major. And next week, I believe, because this is... It's just on the back of Ricky's birthday, isn't it? I can't wait to discuss the old...
Smith is a lump of shit. That's good.
I'm looking forward to that. But next episode, they talk about Steve not being invited to Ricky's birthday, and Jonathan Ross. How is Jonathan Ross? All right.
I feel quite bad for Steve in that one, actually.
Me too.
Anyway, we'll come to that next week. But it's your quote. Go on.
Not Squiddy Patel. Who is Squiddy Patel? Was that a character?
No. He's just come up with that because it's Patel is an Indian name and Squiddy is the sort of thing you'd call someone with four legs. That's it. He just came up with it. It's not a character. It's funny because when it was something that was related to something, you didn't know what it was. When it was like Shang-a-Lang, like, is that a basic role song? But this one, you wasn't related to anything. It was just off the hoof, and you thought it was.
Was Yeah, that does make complete sense, and feel a bit of a twat now. Cheers.
No, it's okay. Sorry. okay, this I love this one. Just thinking of some more.
Yeah.
Thinking the bum. Of some more.
the bum puns. Yeah. Oh, this has got a bit heavy. Can we do Cheeky Freak of the Week?
One of my favourites ever. I've got it as well.
I don't want to talk about it.
I love it, absolutely love it. If they stood behind you, it could be anyone, which is offensive, but it's offensive, that chat in general, but that is funny. It's undeniably funny.
Dave Suckling. I've got a friend whose second name is Suckling, and every time I see this friend or talk to
Dave's,
her...
And
it's just ridiculous. The sort of things your brain conjures up straight away. And that is actually my favourite of all the comedy Steve names. The Steve Martin, the Gerald Preston, Dave Suckling, very funny.
That's funny. It's only because you know someone Suckling, I think. Because
No. It's the fact that it's the verb suck.
I know, but it's like it's a weird, like it must be annoying to have that as your name. But out of all the names, when he does his funny names, that's the least funny for me. It's still all right, but okay. He just stays at home, puts the feet up, which is great, because the funny thing about that is feet is already plural.
Exactly.
They don't need a name. Well,
that makes me think of it, because Carl doesn't know about tenses when he goes. In another episode, because it depends what line you say it. How would you not know that? Anyway, what knobbly bits?
What knobbly bits? Yeah, these are all the classics you've got today. I've kind of, because we discussed them before, I didn't put them in, but I love them. Okay, this what I've got to get this right. Okay, so this is just because this is how flustered he is, but I love it. Steve, if you've got a better competition, then we'll do yours. That's fine. I you know what I mean. If that's what you want to do, what did you want to do? That's hard to say. Like,
I know.
Steve, if you've got a better competition, then we'll do yours. That's fine. I you know what I mean. If that's what you want to do, what did you want to do?
There's so much antagonism in there.
Yeah.
This one. When was that?
When was it on?
About the 200-pound tumor.
Yeah. When was that on? It's more. This is from Ricky. I love it. Even though one of the reasons I'm not that hot on this episode is because they do too much homeless chat. I don't like that. It's just too much chat on the homeless, I think. But anyway, this is a bit I like. You had a good day. Yeah. You've been good. Yeah. It's 50p.
It's 50p.
It's just the way he says it, like a real, like motherly, like how you would say it to a child. Like, you had a good day. Yeah. You've been good. Yeah. It's 50p.
Well, he does the whole, yes, I take care of the odd tramp around where I live. And on that note, my next quote is, full fat. What an insult to a man like me.
It's the way he says it again.
But that is, I always find that so funny when he says a Diet Coke. Like, it's not a water, it's not a bottle of water.
But he doesn't make a point of it. He just says a Diet Coke. I've just got one more. Well, you could get to them faster, which I love that line. But that's all mine done.
I've got one more. And bear with me. Stick with the silence as well. Two mouths, four eyes. What would that be like?
I hope the listeners were taking the time to imagine what that would be like.
An example of how brilliant and important silence is in comedy.
Oh, silence is golden. Especially a lot of people email us and say, you know, there should be more silence on the show. Or just a blank 60 minutes. And speaking of that, it's now time for XFM in the community, which is where we go through all your feedback. Let me say this point, because we're talking over each other, which is where we go through your feedback. And Mars has informed me that there's quite a lot this week. Some of it I've had a look at.
Okay, yeah, some of it, by that he means none, because he doesn't check his emails.
I check the email address. I've seen the email address that we use. That's what I saw on my email list. No, I did have a little look.
Okay, you're going to love this one now, Gary. For the wrong reasons, and maybe for the right reasons as well. This is from a past emailer, Emmeline.
Oh, hello, Emmeline.
Hi, Falking Cumps. Just caught up on the podcast again after catching up to where you are in my annual XFM re-listen. A few episodes ago, you asked about Ricky offhandedly saying the other two were arguing about having help from me, your mum and your dad.
Having help from me and your dad.
There probably was something we missed while they were off air, but I imagine it followed on from an early discussion about Steve going home to Bristol and also needing to clean his flat. Which I think you thought that as well, didn't you?
Yeah, it could be. It could be that, but it's strange, like having help from me and dad. It's like Ricky saying that. It's like almost something about Ricky's dad. And it is right, like it shows how shoddy the show is. Well, we love it and it for its shoddiness as well, but that they actually didn't even realise they hadn't talked about that on air. Like they've just talked about it in a record, obviously. So yeah, but you could well be right, Emlyn.
That episode is one of the ones I probably fall asleep to most often because I barely recognise the story about someone recognising Ricky and being inappropriate about it, or Carl's comment about David Blunkett at the end. I wasn't old enough to be aware of politics at the time it first aired, so listening to that episode of XFM years later is actually where I learned that David Blunkett was blind. You're finding about politics from the XFM.
The abilities of former politicians, the cognitive abilities, well, not cognitive, but that's odd. But yeah, I think for me it's a bit different because I was kind of aware. I think there's a gap in age, Emlyn. If I remember, you're quite young. You were younger when the shows came out. But yeah, I was aware David Blunkett was blind. Which is why it's offensive. Yeah, I'm big, I'm clever. No, I'm not at all.
One other thing. In a later episode, Carl tells a story about going to the toilet at the Sony's and how there was an old man in there who farted. Yeah. This is complete speculation on my part, but I always imagine that he didn't say, "Oh, that was a good one," at all. And Carl made that up because he didn't think Ricky and Steve's reactions were disgusted enough.
Yeah, could be. I doubt he did say that. It is annoying. I've been there. People think they're free to do it. I think we discussed this at the time, but people think they're free to do it at urinals. Like it's just a free, like it's a free pass. You can just do it.
You wouldn't masturbate in a fucking public toilet, yeah, would you?
No.
Well, you wouldn't know this. I mean, you can't just say. Oh,
well,
we
I would. No, I wouldn't. Of course not. But no, yeah, but. But no, masturbating is a whole other level. That's not comparable, I don't think. But, you know, it's more acceptable to fart, obviously. But I still think it's not acceptable, really. Just when you've got someone next to you, standing next to you, urinal, it's disgusting. I don't want that.
Men's toilets should all be cubicled off. There should be no such thing as a urinal.
Mars doesn't use urinals. That's a fact about Mars.
It's disgusting. It is absolutely disgusting.
It's fine.
And No. I'll be honest with you, Gareth. I've been to the public toilets in Clitheroe Park, right? The amount of men under COVID times who come out of the toilet or the urinal and they haven't washed their fucking hands.
Don't wash hands. Now, we both are two people who would always do it even if we'd had a piss. Always. Like, if we'd had a piss. A lot, some people don't when they're pissed, but to not do it when you've had full use of the lavatory is just disgusting.
And under COVID as well.
And in a pub.
Yeah.
Like where you're probably eating and having a drink. And
disgusting.
You know.
Anyway, also, Emlyn, may I just say, you're going to love this. P.S. It's a boy's name.
Yeah, I knew it was. I thought it was because, as I say, I know of someone called. There was someone famous called Emlyn Hughes. This is a bloke. Like, I think he's a boy. Thank you, Emlyn, for confirming that. Because Mars is so sure of himself. He's so sure. No, it's definitely a girl. Okay, well, it might be. But I think it's a boy. No, definitely a girl. But
chill out.
Right. I know, but.
Chill out, yeah.
No, but I'm doing an impression of you.
I know you are. Anyway, this is from Liam.
By the way, no, hang on. Thank you, Emlyn, for that email. I'm glad you caught up on the shows and appreciate you listening. And thanks for taking the time to email back again.
Yeah, thank you, Emlyn. Thank you, Emlyn.
Did you sound a bit insecure there?
This one's from Liam. Dear Morgan and Gregor, Lee was a bit in touch before as well.
Is Liam the one that gives us funny names?
Yeah, and this week it's Dear Morgan and Gregor. I'll take that. I've been meaning to get in contact again since episode 39. However, I've been busy binging Lost on Amazon Prime. Oh, man, I watched the first two seasons and left it. Boy, must be, that's a long, long old haul.
Yeah.
Your episodes continue to knock me out, and I didn't quite make it to my first shout out in the first night of listening. One of you mentioned you had someone chatting you up on a word game, and I had something similar on the Scrabble app about 5 years ago. See attached images for screenshots of the chat. And I'm just going to access the email because I think you'll particularly enjoy this, Gary. This is because what happened last week? You keep for some reason.
I got chatted up by a woman who, and they're clever because they didn't use the most attractive photo, but it was like attractive enough. But it was like attractive enough to be realistic, but not attractive enough to be realistic. So I'm not commenting on the woman they used, but I'm just saying it was a photo of a woman. She started saying, "Oh, hi, how are you?" After she started a game with me, and then quite quickly it deteriorated into her wanting to meet up on Google Mail and stuff like that. It was a big scam. But yeah, I'll be interested.
So here we go. So this is from unknown. Sandra, you, Liam, just says his name. I'm home alone for three. You fancy a chat?
Yeah, that's what I'm
like. Liam replies, 16. The unknown says, ask me what I'm wearing. Liam says, let me guess. unknown says, okay. Liam replies, slippers and sucking on a Werther's original. Yeah. The person replies, no skirt, top bra, brief, spelt incorrectly. And that's it. God.
Is this you're in there, Liam, I think. That's the thing. Actually, on that, because I was going to do this, I do this at the end of, because I've been getting inundated with these messages. That wasn't like an interaction. That was a funny one. But this is just an email that I got this week. This is from Megan49. You probably think, how can I know your dreams? The thing is that I'm very open when it comes to intimacy, and I'm ready to do most things. Now I want to meet somebody who has fantasies he hasn't dared tell his girlfriend. What, eating Dominoes in bed, watching snooker on my laptop? Something you always have dreamed about. I hope you understand what I mean. I hope to hear from you soon so we can start fulfilling our dreams. I had a lot of crazy fantasies earlier, but I tried them. Not that easy if you're into a relationship or something. So what do you think about continuing? Find me here, Megan49, Partner Girls Online. Just right when you got the time, Megan49. And Megan49 as well. I mean, I'm 36. That's probably a bit, you know, even the fake profiles are like older.
I think you should order, I think you'll have to order some garlic bread and make space on your bed.
Ooh, they do a lovely garlic pizza bread.
I'll tell you. So Liam continues, you may also be wondering why I chose the strange donation price of £4 a month on the Patreon. A reminder that you can always head to our Patreon page, there's a link in the description. If for any reason at all you've got a few quid and you fancy some extra twaddle, there's lots of stuff there. There is a good reason for this. Basically, I installed the app, found your page, went to pay £5 and it would crash. This happened 3 times, so I had to log into the website and pay on there. Hopefully I hadn't paid 4 times. I will be checking the credit card bill. Anyway, app has a price for me, and in this case it was £1 a month.
Just incidentally, there are no refunds. So if you have paid 4 times, it's in our kitty now. It's in our Christmas fund. Yeah, no, in all seriousness, thank you, Liam. You know, you don't need to explain why you pick £4 a month, although it is very disappointing to us, but you don't need to. No, I'm serious. It's not at all. But you don't need to explain it. And we just appreciate anything. But thanks for trying 5 at least. Why didn't you go up? Why didn't you try 6 after 5? You know, 5 kept crashing it. Try 7 or 8.
I think if he saw a couple of homeless podcasters, he would buy us a Diet Coke.
He would. He'd buy a mannequin's arm and a Diet Coke.
Yeah. last 2 points from Liam. Your intro music is still dreadful. Slightly more regards than last time.
Thank you, Liam. Oh, well, actually, I quite like our intro music, but it's not to everyone's taste. But it's quite catchy, I think. But it's a bit Jewish. And I say that as a Jewish man myself, so.
We did actually have the Jewish music.
We did actually have that, yeah. That's too obvious. Yes, too, yeah.
Thank you so much, Liam. It's always joy to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks, Liam.
I really like the names as well, so keep up with the names. This is from Steve Weller. Steve, who was a D-Trial T. It was so good. We've been discussing a lot of stuff on email, and so he's just provided a little bit more information about how he got into the shows. It was so good finding your podcasts. I share a love of Only Fools and Horses and Alan Partridge with a Mate and The Fast Show with my son. But I don't know anyone into RSK, so finding you two little fellas was a godsend. I first got into the RSK universe when I stumbled on Carl's Yellow Pages advert. I loved Ricky from watching The Office, the best modern comedy show in my opinion. Finding his other stuff was a revelation. Hearing the podcast for the first time was amazing, then came across the XFM shows. And well, you know the rest. In case you haven't seen it, I have included the YouTube link to the advert, and I'll post a link to that in our description, which is great. I'm still trying to get my Mrs. Dawn into RSK, but no luck so far. Maybe a shout out will help. Come on, come to the side, come to the other side.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
She only calls Clive Owen Clive Warren now, so maybe it's sinking in. Looking forward to the next episode. Thanks, Steve. I have to say, I love that you've got this relationship with your son, watching Far Show together. That just warms couples. It reminds me
of me and my dad in a way. We used to watch stuff like that together and Father Ted. But actually, Steve, I think I don't imagine any of our listeners having like children and relationships and stuff. So I'm glad that you do, at least, like you've settled down. I think most of our listeners are sort of transient and sort of not in relationships. But yeah, nice to hear that you are, that you've at least got a son. And it's lovely to read or to hear what you said. Thank you. I totally agree with you about The Office. I know Mars agrees as well. And even things like Only Fools and Horses, they take the bits out of it in the show. But I've said to Mars before, it's a classic. If you know what you're getting, you know, it's not going to be like The Office. You know, it's just going to be on the nose. Only Fools and Horses. You know, it's great. It's so well written. So yeah, great great email, Steve. And keep up your maintenance payments for yourself. No, I'm joking. I really enjoyed
talking about maintenance payments. Steve has actually become a Patreon.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Steve.
So thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you. You're a true treasure. Thank you. Seriously. Thank you.
And Steve did actually defend us when we had Skinless Frank.
Did he?
And he did actually say, is Skinless Frank FLJS? Now, Gary, FLJS has been in contact with me.
Yeah, well. I'm not going to lie, FLJS was put on the subs bench for quite a while. He was subbed off game.
He's not Skinless Frank.
I imagine he's not Skinless Frank. You never know. What did FLJS say to you? Go on.
What's worse, the additional verses bit for Mother Hubbard or the please welcome to the stage bit? Now, got my back up on this because I love both those things.
Yeah, they're great. What do you mean, what's worse? What would be worse in reality?
I don't think FLJS likes those.
I don't know. I think you're a bit off FLJS there, but then you're an odd fellow. You're an odd fellow. But I want you to get back in touch, FLJS. What do you mean? Are you saying you don't like both those bits? Because the extra verses to Mother Hubbard is a classic. And Peace, Welcome to the Stage is just it's not... It's a classic bit, but it's
well, we good. Did talk actually, because I said I was like, how come you don't like this bit? And he replied, mate, I'm changing to hashtag Team Gaza. Next thing you'll say is that you like XFM Family Fortunes and the Smelly Eyebrows caller. Your opinions make me physically sick.
You see what he's like when he's against. See, he's been like that with me the whole time. But I agree with you, FLJS. Miles's opinions can make me physically sick as well. So we bonded for the first time ever over something. But right. Please stay in touch. I love hearing from you and stuff.
Our Patreon, that's always that.
Yeah, if you want to get paid, FLJS, if you want to start putting your money where your mouth is on Team Gaza, you know where to go.
Okay. It's Gary, I want to wrap this up because I'm bored of talking to you, mate.
You say that every week.
I don't plan on stop saying that. I thought it would be quite nice if we could put in a little couple of songs in our D Trout Spinners library.
Well, I've got some questions for you. I might have put this one in before, okay? But there's a reason I put this one in this week. I might have put it in before, but it's because this week they play REM, and obviously there's the thing about Ricky, he didn't know what it's called, so they play a nice REM track. I like it, so I thought I'd put in a different REM track, and it is associated with the show, but I think I might have put it in before, and it's the classic REM, Night Swimming. If I haven't put that in, I'll put that one in.
Give me 2 seconds.
Checking through my previous sayings.
I'll tell you what. You are so bloody lucky. REM Night Swimming isn't in there. We can put it in the D. Charles Spinner's library.
Okay. I've got another one.
What was the other one?
No, I'll tell you next week. I'm saving that.
Jolly good. My one is a bit... I love that song as well. I don't really listen to that much REM, if I'm honest with you. I knew all the classics, but that's lovely.
That's their best song, I think, Night Swimming. Mm. And I found out about it from the XFM show.
So did I. I haven't been listening to any kind of, like, what I would call proper music, like things with lyrics. I've been listening to a lot of lyricless bits, a lot of just because I've been working quite a lot recently. So I'm gonna choose it's not that. I'm gonna choose a classical piece of music. Max Richter, who's a composer, it's like films, as an experimental stuff, but it's a fairly well-known classical piece called On the Nature of Daylight, and I do like that. I think it's important to introduce a wide spectrum of genres on this show, so that's my choice for this week. So listen to it.
That's Mars there, just substituting for a real personality by
picking
the fact that seems arty and classy.
I
don't know of that piece, but if I heard it, I possibly would. So, but anyway, that is this week's show basically done. What are you going to do for the rest of the day? You sometimes ask me that song.
I haven't told you this yet. I'm surprised I haven't, because I had a beaming smile from left to right. We're sort of slowly opening up. The society is opening up. Pubs are going to be open outside anyway. Work have now revealed. Well, I have told you this actually. Work have revealed that they're going to allow me to work 3 days at home and 2 days in the office.
That's 3 podcasts a week.
I am so honestly, I love working from home,
but that's not even till July. Like, till July you can carry on how you are. Yeah. Did you say that's good your company's doing it in the right way? I agree.
Good on them. What are your views on working from home? Do you think it's a good
thing? Yeah, it's fine. I like it. I mean, I personally like it. Like, I have no problems with it. In fact, it can be quite... What I do can get quite solitary anyway. There are quite a lot of meetings in different ways, but it can get quite... So over the next sort of 3 years, I will be working from home. I'm not going to really go back into the office hardly at all. Not because of COVID, but just because I'm more productive at home. I just am, and I can do it from home. I'm lucky that what I do... I don't need... my presence isn't needed anywhere, except on
Thank
the meetings,
God.
Which I join by Zoom. So,
Thank God
yeah,
for that.
Not, yeah, I join by Teams. But yeah, so there you go.
What are you going to do for the rest of the day?
Well, we're going to do a little bit of reading a script that we wrote and trying to get out and take out the grammatical errors that we've left in. And then, just a bit of uni work. With a bit of red wine, maybe.
Love it.
Maybe a new bottle.
Do you ever think, like, when you're writing your uni work, when you're a bit pissed, that you'll get a bit emotional in it? You'll go, oh, be honest with you.
No. What do you mean, like?
Your subconscious ends your fingertips, and you go, I'll tell you what, you take your fucking grades, you can fucking...
Oh, that is a... basically what Mars is asking me there is what he actually does happen to him on work emails and things, but he probably doesn't quite send them. But yeah, I've often thought, yeah, you know, to be a bit harsher, but no, I don't get emotional when I'm writing my essays.
I've got a lot of drafts too that are unsent, so we'll leave it there.
Okay, both do our drafts.
Do get in touch with us, guys. Spinnerspodcast@gmail.com on Twitter, or online, spinnerspodcast@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. We want your quotes, your stories, your audio. We haven't had any audio for a while.
Send in your audio. I love to hear listener voices. I love to hear that.
Or just while you sleep?
Just to, you know, whilst I'm getting up in the morning, putting on my socks, putting on my pants,
What a lovely thought to end on. Cheers, guys. Just a bit of a... No, I'm joking. I don't, but I do like to hear listener voices.
So send in your audio. That's an order. And we'll see you next week.